Great to hear the conversations. Would you like to know what I was told about what people wanted to be when they grew up? Air hostess. Journalist. An inventor. An author. A hairdresser. A dancer. A builder. A magician. A speech therapist. A police officer. A marine biologist. A vet, a forensic scientist, a businessman, a butcher, an astrophysicist, an astronaut, and a fireman. What did you want to be? You wanted to be a bin man? Not enough qualifications to be a man. Oh, prayer available at the end. Gareth, what did you want to be when you grew up? You wanted to be an astronaut as well? Wow, amazing. Cool. Isn't it amazing what we were going to be? We'll let these two have the conversation on their own. Because what I love about the first 14 verses, and I know we pretty much read them the same but different, was that gives us a big picture of what it is that Jesus came to do, of who he was and what his mission on earth was. And I'm not going to do all 14 verses, don't worry. I'll save that for the kids' ministry next week. But I just want us to look at one, and it's verse 12. And in the NIV, it says this: "But to all who received him, who believe in his name, he gave power," this is in different versions, sorry, "to become children of God." How powerful are you feeling this morning? Do you feel like you have that full power to be a child of God? Because at the end of the day, John says, do you know what? That is your inheritance. That is what you receive. When you say yes to following Jesus, that is what we get. Romans, Paul writes these words, and I love these, and so I'm going to share them with you as well as I did with the early service. Paul writes this: "This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa?' God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. We know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance." I was 11 years old at Spring Harvest when I said yes to following Jesus. I'd grown up in church all of my life. But it wasn't until that moment where it became personal to me. And every time I share my story, I sense something in me just get excited again. Because I remember what I was and who I was and now who I am. So, next question for you, please. When did you become a follower of Jesus? Share your story with the people around you. I'm going to put a timer on of 3 minutes. So you might want to think about it in a very few seconds to share your story, if it's a long one. If you're not sure, actually, if it has happened, that's okay too, all right? But I encourage you just to share your story. And if you're not, you're like, well, I don't really want to share, that's okay as well. So 3 minutes, go. Boom. Great. Isn't it amazing? Some of us have been coming to this church for 15 months and we don't know the people's story. Let's share our story because we are children of God. When we have said yes to following him, we become and we get an inheritance, that which is of the Creator God, and he gives us freedom to live in that. Now, my grandpa was 88 years old when he decided to say yes at an Alpha course. He'd been to church all of his life and hadn't realized it was personal. So it's never too late to invite someone. Alpha is on this week. I encourage you to invite people to Alpha. It is incredible. But I want to look at, so Alpha is the first thing I want to talk about. And then I want us to just look at these two words. The first one is power. Now I need a couple of volunteers to come forward. Just come forward. And I want you to pick out one thing out of the bag. Quick, I need another two people. Come on. Doesn't matter how old you are. I'm not going to embarrass you. Promise. Excellent. Watch out for the crocodile. Excellent. Right then, Grace, please hold up what you have. Show everybody. What is it?
A charger.
A charger. A charger for what?
Phone.
For a phone. Very good. It's a plug socket, which has the USB in it. What do you have, Casper?
AA batteries.
Yeah, did you steal those from the back?
No.
No, I did before the service started. So it's your fault because you touched them last. What do batteries do?
Charge things.
Charge things, do they?
They give things power.
Give things power. Excellent. What do you have?
A charger for a computer.
Charger for my computer, indeed. Look after that, because I can't get any work done if that dies, because my battery is absolutely minced on my computer. And what do you have?
I think it's a charger for an electric toothbrush.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. That was my Christmas present, just that. We need each of these things to power all of the incredible amount of gadgets that we have in our lives, right? We need power. Without the power, things don't work. If we didn't have power in this building, it would be quite dark and there'd be all we'd have is just my voice going higher. We need power. And actually, the word that comes out in this bit of scripture is exousia. Turn to the person next to you and say, exousia. You guys can take a seat. Thank you very much. You can put your stuff back in the back. Exousia, which actually, because in some versions of the Bible you read, it says that you have the right to become a child of God. If you believe in him, you have the right to believe or right to follow. Whereas actually, exousia, which is the actual word, is more about power to do something. An ability that is given to you. Because with a right, you claim it. It's mine. Done. Thanks very much. You know, when we play like tag rugby or whatever and we grab it, it's our right. I've got it. I've won. But actually, when we move from that right into something of exousia, which is more about actually it's a given thing of authority that we can then act on. So it's the way I would like us to think about power is more that power is something that is given out of relationship rather than a right, which is something that we claim. How are you feeling in your walk with Jesus? And do you feel that maybe you've claimed it, but maybe you don't feel as though you have the authority to act as a child of God? Next one is become. What did you want to become? What did you want to grow up as? Because in actual fact, the word become in this scripture is actually ginomai. Turn to the person next to you and say, ginomai. Okay, we're learning a bit of Greek this morning. Praise the Lord for Wikipedia. This carries with it kind of coming into existence. A transition from one thing into another, growth. All right, can you imagine that in a number of years' time, if we had this picture retaken of these three children, of them actually fitting in those clothes? Where's my mate Seth gone? Seth, come here. Quick. Put that on. It's Super Bowl this weekend. This was the nearest thing I could find to Super Bowl. It was a t-shirt I was given. Other way around, but that's okay. Just put it on anyway. Do you get yourself dressed in the morning, Seth? Or Seth, come and stand so that everybody can see you. Hands up if your parents used to buy you clothes that were too big so that you could grow into them. You look really great. I mean, like, so good. As a child of God, yes, we receive it. We receive our freedom and our joy at that moment where we say yes, but also becoming a child of God is something that we grow into. I was at a conference yesterday talking about children ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that in actual fact, children can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen it happen. I believe it can happen. But it's something that we grow into. We don't just become a Christian all of a sudden, right, I now heal you. Although God does do that, there is actually something of us going, right, wait a minute, I'm going to trust God in this and I'm going to grow into it. The more we grow into it, the more confident we become as children of God. Jesus gave us the power to become children of God. So it's not only that moment thing, but it's also something that we continue to grow in. Round of applause for Seth. I won't ask you to take it off in front of us because that might take you longer than... It's almost like John is saying, for a person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, Jesus is giving the power and authority to emerge as a child of God. In Jesus, we receive love, we receive forgiveness, we receive a purpose for life. Some of us may have become the things that we dreamt of. Some of us may not because we didn't have the qualifications. But actually, what God calls us into is to be his children and to follow him. Now, we can claim a right, it's true. And Jesus did die and did rise again for our sins. He did that for each and every single one of us. So we have a right, if we believe it. But actually, when we're in relationship, where everything that belonged to Jesus actually is given willingly and joyfully to us, that changes the whole dynamic of how we are children of God. I'm going to read Colossians 1:15-20 over you. So I want you all to close your eyes. Nothing weird's going to happen. I'm just going to read some scripture. And I want you to allow these words to sink in. And as I am reading them, and as you have listened to me talk, what are you going to take away with you this morning? Colossians 1 says this. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and we see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme at the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, the people, the things, the animals, the atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. All because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. We have a few moments of silence.